protects your keys?
Up. Speak. Up. Speak. Up. Up. Speak. Speak. Up. Speak up.
Speak up.
Speak up.
Speak.
Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Whoa. Hey, how's it going? Welcome. Come on in, grab a seat or whatever. My name is Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Hulkamelam and Squamish-speaking peoples. You can listen at 90.1 FM, which I've mentioned already, or you can go to cjsf.ca and stream us there. We actually have a cool new radio app that you can get on your smartphone of whatever variety you have on either the Apple Play or the App Store or the Google Play Store, and stream us wherever you might be in the world. This is, as I said, Speak Up, the show from CJSF's Public Affairs and Talk Department, where we talk and play music and interview people and do all sorts of cool stuff. Today's show is jam-packed. I have at least two, possibly three, depending on how things move, pieces for you. Two are interviews recorded by Public Affairs Department Work Study William at the Catalano Music Festival a couple weekends ago. And the other is a new interview with the SFU Pipe Band conducted by Music Department Coordinator Connor at the Skagit Valley Highland Games. So we'll try to keep things moving and get to all of that. But first, we are going to start with some local music, as we always do. And this time, we're really going to touch the limit of what is, underground and local with a band that started out very underground and local here in Vancouver. And actually features a member who was once a CJSFer. They ascended to relative fame, as much as a two-piece rock band from Vancouver can ascend to on the global indie music scene. It's Japandroids, who have a new record coming out that they've just announced called Fate and Alcohol. That comes out in October. They've released a lead single, which is called Chicago, and we're going to hear it right now. I have not listened to this yet, so we'll hear it for the first time together right now.
Shots of the good stuff, too.
see it in Chicago.
From Japandroids, that is Chicago, from the upcoming record Fate and Alcohol, which is out October 18th. This is Speak Up on CJSF, and now you are going to hear William's interview with a favorite artist of mine, favorite artist of mine, and also a great person, Devours, who performed at the Catalano Music and Arts Festival. And William caught up with Jeff and had a pretty cool conversation. So you're going to hear that, as well as some of the background sounds of Catalano Festival and all that, right after this track by Devours, just to give you some context from his latest record, Homecoming Queen. This is Jacuzzi, My Stonewall. Thank you.
This is William Hofsing with CJSF, and today I am here with...
Devourers!
Devourers, yes, awesome. Tell me a little about yourself for people who don't know.
I am a musician in Vancouver. I make DIY, sort of dark, gay synth pop music.
That's an awesome description.
And we're here at Catalano. I'm playing in about an hour and a half on the Maple stage. Woo-hoo! I'm excited.
And now, and we talked a little bit over Instagram too. Like, obviously, synth pop, house music has had a very like gay history. And as a straight person though, I've had a lot of interest again, like diving into that culture kind of from the outside. But one thing I also kind of realized too is it's not even just those two genres. There's also like electronic music in general. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard kind of like a subtle industrial sound to your music too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I grew up on Nine Inch Nails.
I'm a big Coil fan too. So.
Oh, I never got into Coil.
Oh, really?
Like, I've never gotten into Coil.
Have you listened to them or like?
No.
Like, they're.
They're a name that I've known of since forever. But yeah, I don't.
Yeah, like, you know the story, right? Like, gay couple. They've been like some of the most visible musicians in, like, industrial music, and I don't know. They've always been like their storytelling and how vivid it is has also really impacted me. And like, is that something you kind of want to do? Like, tell very vivid, like, explicit stories? And like what kind of stories do you like to tell in your music though?
I'm gonna have to look up Coil.
Yeah,
you
no,
just sold me
Horse
on
Rotavator.
Coil,
amazing.
Will. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
The Ape of Maples, is there one of their like posthumous albums they did after John Balance passed away?
So what's another, the album called?
The Ape of Naples.
The Ape?
My favorite one is Horse Rotavator, but it's not on Spotify, unfortunately.
Okay.
Are
they
song?
American?
British.
Whoa.
Yeah. No.
Okay, so you're a huge Coil. I'm gonna have to look this up. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to do something similar. All of my albums have been, about... maybe I could say like the darker side of queer existence.
Oh.
I feel like there's a lot of, you know, like being gay in pop music is nothing new, but I'm kind of over the whole era of like, look at me, I'm pretty, and I'm like making songs about pride. You know, like I want to make songs about like body dysmorphia and masculinity and like insecurities and gay politics, and so I kind of want to like push the conversation forward a little bit.
Cool.
To like update it for 2024.
Yeah.
Essentially, there are so many stories, like queer stories, that haven't been told yet.
Like, do you have like some like specific examples of like maybe underground like queer performers or like queer stories you've read that have really like kind of made you think, huh? I hadn't thought of that before, even like from your own experience.
I don't know. I think that this is gonna sound cheesy, but in Vancouver, I've tried to like become the change that I wanted to see in this city.
Oh.
I don't know if I've had a lot of like influences from like gay culture or literature or anything like that. I just think that I wanted to like, you know, I probably needed therapy when I was growing up, and music was always like my therapy. So all of my songs have always just been like diary entries basically into my life. And I just wanted
artists.
To like give a glimpse into what like big city gay life is like in Canada, I guess. Any favorite artists?
Yeah, favorite or like artists that really put you on to like making music in some way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I think Missy Elliott was like a huge one.
Oh, interesting. I think I listened to her stuff.
Moby was a really big influence on me in terms of like being an electronic producer.
Yeah.
Like, I learned a lot from Moby's early music. Trent Reznor I think is brilliant.
Well,
so,
me
like,
too.
Early Nine Inch Nails I think is pretty amazing.
It's really funny. You're the second musician I've interviewed here who cited like Nine Inch Nails as an influence. And I remember exactly where I was, grade 10 English class, listening to The Downward Spiral for the first time. I think it destroyed my brain chemistry, or not destroyed, but like reshaped it in some way. It's like there's something to be like something to be said about that. And like,
So do you
also like to explore? Like, because you did say you like the darker underbelly of like the queer community. That's like something that you're really fascinated in. Do you have like any specific like concept albums or concepts you explore within that?
No,
not really. Sorry.
No, I don't know. These are very good questions. I'm not exactly sure what to say.
No, that's totally fine.
I'm distracted by this like bass solo right now.
Oh my god, yeah.
They're like ripping it hard right now.
Speaking of of, though. Do you have any like other artists here you've been really like enamored with?
Like any
artist here that you'd like love to work with, maybe in the future, or
oh god, like in Vancouver?
Pardon?
Do you mean like anywhere or like in Vancouver?
Vancouver and the festival, like.
Oh, I mean there are so many young bands that are doing exciting stuff in Vancouver right now. I feel like a lot of my friends aged out of the scene during COVID, and now it's like a whole new ball game. There are like hundreds of new bands, lots of like Gen Z kids like playing at Green Auto and stuff, and I love the idea of collaborating. I've been doing remixes for people for a long time, and I want to just like continue on that path. I really want to play shows with young people right now. That's like the major thing. So I think less about like collaborating musically and think more about like how do I put on a show with like people who I think are doing cool things. And so yeah, I feel like Music Waste, the lineup was really inspiring this year. There were some exciting new bands that I discovered. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like any names in particular or like
there's a new band that I got to play with at Music Waste. They're called Two Girls One Daw.
Oh my god.
Like a trans duo doing kind of like subversive cool electronic stuff. I was really into that. There's a band called Piss that everyone was talking about this year. They were really, really good. A few others, yeah, there's a band called B-Bomb who played at Green Auto who I thought were really good. Just so many. The curation was insane this year. It was such a good festival. So yeah, and Vancouver's a really exciting city right now.
Giving me some FOMO, but that's really awesome. Kind of come back a little bit here.
Okay.
When I brought up again like the very gay history of like synth pop and house music, there's a lot of discourse I had read about too, especially in house and how like kind of that style, because it originated in the gay clubs for gay people, for trans people, for people of color, like seeing white producers work, like, come to fame with it, like Daft Punk, for example, like. There's a bit of animosity. Like, there was an album I listened to recently called Midtown 120 Blues by, do you know Tara Tamlitz, I think is their name?
Yeah, I do not know that name.
It's really interesting. It's a concept album that's all about kind of like the history of house music from the perspective of like almost a Ziggy Stardust-esque figure called DJ Sprinkles.
Wow, and he's like interesting, kind of okay.
Interspersed with the songs. It's like, it gives you the history lesson and also like a very vitriolic like exploration of how house has been co-opted. And I'm wondering like, do you think like that's been for the better? Like the house has gotten like larger exposure, or do you think things have been lost from the culture?
I cannot speak on house music. I don't know.
Or house,
I don't
know, or like I've never listened to house music. Or gay music. I mean, like sort of like music that's like gay, but then becomes very popular for like audiences of all or LGBT in general. I should say queer, maybe is a better word.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to figure out what the question is. Yeah. Sometimes genres start in underground scenes and are typically queer and trans, and then become mainstream. And I think that, I don't know, it's like, it's good for people in the suburbs, you know, who like are going through something and they want to see themselves reflected in like a big pop star or something, like Chapel Roan or something like that.
Oh yeah, of course.
It's like having a big moment, and like people in small town Iowa or something, like they need to see that. So I'm a little bit cynical. I'm just like, yeah, mainstream stuff is like not, it's sort of like a watered down version of like cooler underground, more creative stuff. But I think that for people in the world, music is a beautiful thing, and I don't want to be negative.
Yeah,
gay culture, drag culture, it's very, very booming. It's popular. It's mainstream right now. And that is great for a lot of people.
And if it pulls you in too, right? Like if it pulls in audience into the underground a bit, like then who can really fault it? Like,
yeah, for sure. I think that it's like it's a gateway for a lot of people. You know, if I think back to my youth, there wasn't really anything gay like happening in mainstream music at all. But this was like mid to late 90s.
I can only think
and
of
I
like
thought of like Slipknot or something was a band that I was really into back in the day. Not gay by any means,
but they were
like a gateway into metal.
Yeah,
and it was sort of like pop metal,
new metal, right? Like that was a whole scene. I was having a conversation a couple days ago with a friend, and I was thinking, like, I think part of why nu metal was like such a successful and kind of divisive scene too is that it was some of like the like that and alt metal and gothic metal around the same time, they were all like very open about like discussing their feelings in a way that a lot of like metal music was more about like creating these like harrowing soundscapes or fantasy stories.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's fun to that too, but I think it opened the floodgates to a lot of like really interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of teenagers connected to nu metal.
Like an artist,
the lyrics were about like feeling, you know, rejected.
Like,
I feel like it was dark.
Yeah,
people like Jonathan Davis from Korn, and
I was just thinking
bands,
him too.
Like, they went through some really hard stuff in their life, and they were working through it. And maybe I'm doing something similar.
And even too with like music. I listened to the first Korn LP and very recently, and I was kind of mixed on it, but I did think like I totally understand why they blew up like that.
Yeah,
and that
same.
One song, that's the word I cannot say, but it's misspelled. I could see, again, it's not him like talking about his experience as a gay man, because he's not a gay man. It was more like being labeled that way, because of how he identified, because like how he dressed, the stuff he listened to, and what that made me think of too is like I could imagine someone like you really like projecting onto that.
I connected to it, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the young people who've been bullied, which is probably a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Through music, you know, like that's what a lot of it was.
Exactly.
It was about, like, feeling like an outcast in high school or whatever, and like regaining like agency and power through music as like someone in their 20s.
Now, this might get a bit personal, this next question, but I had been thinking about it when I was reading up on you and your music. So I saw on like your page before you, like I think immediately before you started like music full time. You came out as gay then, like when you were a bit older, right? Like,
yeah, I was 25.
Do you mind if I ask, like what, like kind of like the springboard was there, or like what?
I lived in Montreal for 3 years. I grew up on Vancouver Island, and so wasn't really exposed to a ton. And then moved to Montreal in my early 20s, and that was a real time of like, oh my god, everyone's gay. Like, it just helped me sort of like come to terms and accept who I was. It was just exposure, you know, like being in a big city that was really different from Nanaimo in Victoria. So I had worked through, you know, spent my teens feeling just in denial about it and very confused. And I moved to Vancouver when I was 25 and came out like a week before moving here. So I think that it's hard to know exactly what inspired it. There was a YouTube channel called I'm From Driftwood. Very, very impactful for me. I don't know if they're still doing stuff, but this was like 2009-ish, where it was a YouTube channel where a guy would go around small town America and interview people about their coming out stories.
Oh.
Yeah, and so all these videos, there were like 100 of them on this YouTube channel, and the videos would just be like 5 minutes long or something, or of these people getting interviewed talking about their stories. And I think that I was like, you know what, it's my turn for like telling my story. You know, I learned a lot from watching different people's stories. You know, it's just exposure, you know.
Yeah,
growing up at a time where it was like revolting and like a complete joke to be gay, I think that I just buried it really hard and like didn't want to revisit it. And then finally, after like a lot of exposure to it in my early 20s, I was like, okay, I think that I can like own who
I
am.
I'm really happy to hear that too.
Yeah.
But like, I think, you make a good point. Like, so much of like the pop construction of like homosexuality or just queerness in general was either like you had the are they, are they not figures? Like, I'm a huge David Bowie fan, but does always puzzled me. Like, how he kind of, how he claimed to be gay, then bisexual, then heterosexual. And he was like, I was trying to put on a performance in some way. And I don't know, that feels strange. Like, Neil Tennant was, I think, probably one of, like, the better examples, but he only came out in the 90s. And then, I think the only real, like, reference point a lot of people had was Relax. Like, I just watched a YouTube video on, like, the history of that music video, too. And it was really interesting. Like, so,
It's easy to become cynical, you know, like when it comes to the music industry, even Nicki Minaj 10 years ago was like, I'm bisexual. Maybe she is, who knows? I don't want to put like words into her mouth,
but I just know
for a fact that some people do it to broaden their audience, right?
Yeah.
And that's like a sad fact. Over the last 30, 40 years, we've had people like Britney Spears and the completely straight people acting like as, like they've just become like gay icons.
Right. Yeah. No. I was.
Whereas
thinking too,
in
like,
Vancouver,
Beyonce
I'm like trying to play
shows,
talking about my own struggles being gay, and the gay community just wants to like go listen to Britney Spears.
That's really
like they don't really, they want to listen to actual gay stuff. Like they just want like pop escapism music and like fancy outfits.
Yeah, like put them onto some Coil, like I was saying.
I'm gonna check out Coil. That's the takeaway from this interview, William. I'm gonna check out Coil.
Awesome, yeah. I quite like them. A friend of mine absolutely adores them. Like they're his biggest musical influence. And okay. So yeah, no, I might ask him too because I'm trying to put them back on my listening radar too. Speaking of like anything you got on rotation a lot lately, like
yeah, there's an artist in the States named Amen Dunes. Really interesting kind of experimental artist who's put out a number of albums who I really like. Trying to think, there are a number of others. Empress Of is
that name sounds familiar.
Sort of like American / Spanish, like some of her lyrics are in Spanish. Sort of electronic pop artist from LA who's really, really good. I don't know, can you think of any like current ones? There's lots of good stuff out right now.
Current artists. I did check out La Lune's new EP, and I was really
impressed. Stuff. Yeah, really impressed great. With
it. I love a lot of shoegaze, especially like the classics, but a lot of the more modern stuff hasn't really been scratching the itch. Like it feels kind of like very meat and potatoes, but that one kind of felt like they weren't just like coasting off the influences. And so I'm always a big fan of stuff that feels really outside the box. And I'm fine if like the influence is there. Like I really loved, you know, the electronic musician, George Clanton.
Oh yeah. I really like George Clanton actually.
Yeah, Urapaya. I really love that one, but you can definitely tell he loves the Stone Roses. He loves Primal Scream, but it sounded fresh to me. Even though I'm familiar with both those artists,
I'm a really big fan actually of George Clanton. His name didn't come to mind when you asked me the question, but every so often I just sort of like go down the rabbit hole on YouTube and watch a bunch of his stuff. And I think that he's like a master of his craft.
He's really good at his aesthetic. Such a great 90s music video.
yeah. Like he knows what he's doing. He's a really good producer. But yeah, who else? There's a band in Vancouver right now called Smush, who are like a brand new name. They're doing shoegaze and doing it really, really well. I think that they're like gonna blow up.
Yeah,
honestly.
No.
Yeah, they're young. Very good at what they're doing.
It's like with what La Lune did. It kind of brought me back to when I listened to the first Paranul album. Have you heard of him?
Oh, I know that name. Yeah, I don't know the music, but I've seen it on blogs and stuff.
Yeah, he's quite a big deal now. Korean sing, like one man band project, shoegaze and emo, I think. Which speaking of, that's another thing. I think like punk and emo too is like one of like the best outlets I've seen for like queer musicians. I mean, queercore is a whole genre too. Like,
yeah.
I still need to check out that one, Hers Collective album. It looked really interesting.
Which one, sir?
The Hers Collective. They're like an extreme punk. They get all these like bands. Like Soul Glow has been one of my favorite hardcore bands lately.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kind of like collab with us, especially a lot of queer artists too. And they have a compilation.